Early morning. A clear spring day in Jerusalem. Preparing for Passover. The streets full. Noise. Everywhere noise. The sharp stabbing noise of questions. The news of Jesus, arrested, dragged to the palace of the Roman governor, Pilate. I lay against a wall, under my cloak, feigning sleep, as sunlight stole across the stones, just another traveler. You think you know me? Judas. The man who sold his master for the price of a slave. And knowing me, you judge me. What can you know about me and my life? What do you see now that I didn't see then when I was there in the heat and the dust and the hope? You didn't give everything up to walk in his shadow, to sit at his feet, waiting. Always waiting. Traitor. Coward. Or just the fall guy. Who is the real Judas? Stand up, whoever you are. Three years ago, who was Judas then? Before Jesus of Nazareth came into my life and everything changed.
This way, he went up Sheep's Cot.
No, he went towards the lake.
I tell you, up Sheep's Cot, this way.
Where's everyone going? What's happening?
The teacher, the Nazarene, Jesus, him that's bringing back the kingdom.
There was this great leap of hope in my heart. The kingdom of Israel, at last, someone willing to speak out against swaggering Rome. Bully boy Rome. Maybe this was the man who would restore Israel to its rightful status. This Jesus.
Sorry, can I get through, please?
I had to see him. He was sitting on a rock, not far up the hillside, high enough to look out and be seen. A man in a tattered robe, mended sandals. He had the look to him, you know? A young rebel. I could smell the hope, the anticipation. I started to run, to push my way through. I had to hear.
Stay back. Let the man breathe.
His disciples ringed him like some sort of Praetorian guard.
Did you hear me? You have to stand back.
John the loudmouth. But the man himself looked over and said, let him through. So they did. I was right there, front row, ready for the rousing of the army, the announcement of war on the Roman Empire at last. And instead, as a buzzard circled above us in a clear blue sky, we heard, what was it? Blessings on the poor and the hungry and the thirsty and the sad. You name it, all the losers in the world, the lost and the broken, blessings on them. Talk about a letdown.
Either God's law or the prophets.
But there was something that held me, something new.
God's law is more real and lasting than the stars in the sky and the ground at your feet.
He did talk about the kingdom and about the law being accomplished. He knew his stuff, his scriptures, a good young rabbi. He said enough to keep me there as the sun set and as they lit the fires and began to roast meat, to bring out bread.
Long after stars burn out and earth wears out, God's law will be alive and working.
Where are you from, then?
Kerioth.
Oh, John, this guy's a southerner, all the way from Judea.
I'd been to the north, looking for a group of patriots, revolutionaries, wanting to join them. But they were rubbish, full of hot air and bombast, but no courage, layabouts. So I was on my way home when I came across Jesus and his followers, his teaching. Love. Strong, steadfast, unchanging love, stubborn love. That very first day, when none of it made sense at all, I had to stay and hear more. In spite of myself.
So, what do you do?
This and that.
Zealot.
A Jewish patriot. That a problem?
Not for us. The master takes anyone. He took John for starters, didn't he?
He took you, or no questions asked.
I wrapped myself in my cloak and lay under the stars, listening to the Jesus followers, liking their enthusiasm, their energy. group of young men. What's not to like? Their silhouettes against the blazing fire, sparks leaping into the black sky. The next day, as we made our way down the hillside to get water, everything changed. A leper came up through the crowd. It parted in horror in front of him, this leprous, tragic, pitiful wreck of a man. Terrified, he'd reach out a rotting hand.
Friend, you have no business here.
Get away, you filth. Crawl back under your stone.
But he lay there, face down in the dirt, digging his claws, fingers into the red earth.
Lord, if you wish to, you can heal me. Make me clean.
And Jesus stretched out his hand. He stretched out his hand. I mean, it was bewildering. We couldn't believe that this teacher of scripture, this holy man, was going to touch such filth.
You can heal me. Make me clean. Please.
I am willing. Be clean.
And he touched him. He put his hand out and held onto the man, drawing him up to his feet, his clean, strong hands on the filthy rags. And...
Lord...
The sores, the pus, the scabs and blood, the smell... Gone. Just gone. We stared. The guy looked down at his arms and... There's no explaining it. Like it was a picture. A living parable of something. But I didn't know what. I know now. I didn't then. Slow learner. And a few months later, I was still there, following him, hooked. What days they were. Days of glory. Water to wine, I heard all about it, didn't believe a word of it. And then, well, then... I started to see with my own two cynical, disbelieving eyes. Lunatics made sane. The lame dancing. What was it? Some sort of madness? Mass hysteria? Whatever it was, I bought into it completely. This unassuming, quiet man. How did he do it? Days of honey and wine and joy and amazement. We were drunk with it, drunk with love for him and for each other. Everything seemed possible. Everything was possible. He said himself, he said, with God, all things are possible. And I was right there. Peter and Andrew and James and John and me. And, well, anyway, 12 of us, heady days. We thought we were going to rule the world. It was inevitable, I suppose. We all wanted to be there, at his side, to be the one he turned to. Soon there were, I don't know, sideways glances, veiled jealousies, gossip, jostling for the Lord's favour.
No one's accusing you, Judas.
John was. He watches me like...
Oh, John, he's just being John, aren't you?
I said now. But if the cap fits...
If you think I'm a thief, go to the master. Tell him. See what he says.
I never said you was thieving. Guilty conscience.
Well, pack it in, both of you. The rabbi's getting ready to teach. Listen up.
Let me tell you why you are here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings
and
out
what teaching?
God flavors of this earth.
It made no sense, and yet perfect sense. Like nothing we had ever heard before. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Levites, they'd turn up wherever we went, whispering as we ate, sidling into the marketplace, leaning on the street corners, gathering at the lakeside. Wherever he was, there they were, the shrouded men, taking note of everything, silent. In the shadows, sometimes a clink of metal on metal, a Roman soldier, pretending not to listen, intrigued. Just as we were. We thought they were spies, listening to catch the master out in some indiscretion, but no, they were just like us, trying to make sense of this new, crazy teaching.
I'm telling you to love your enemies. Let them bring out
love one another. Love your enemies and pray for anyone who mistreats you.
70 times 7. Forgive 70 times 7. And be a servant. Like there could ever be anything good about being a servant.
I am the good shepherd, and you are the sheep.
Right. Lovely. Now we're sheep. Mad. But we were seduced by it. The words, the nuggets of gold, the jewels.
Don't suppose that I've come to bring peace to the earth. I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword.
A sword? Yes! Now you're talking. Words to turn your life around. More of that, more of that! But if he brought a sword, it was like no sword I ever knew. A sword of gentleness and forgiveness. Love one another. Who talks like that? Who has ever said those words and made sense of them before him? In the whole of history, what man would ever say, love your enemy? Only him. Only the carpenter's son, Jesus of Nazareth, the one they call the Christ. What does he think he'll do? Change the course of history? Madman. And we must be mad too. We gave up everything to follow him. Some left their boats, their nets, their families. There was a tax collector, just walked away from his booth. Galileans, of course, the whole lot of them, except me. So they called me Iscariot. Judas from Kerioth. The cultured one. Are we fools to follow him? There have been other lunatics before him. John the Baptist, for starters, beheaded. Nutcase. And the prophets? Were they all what they should have been? Were some of them a bit, you know, cracked?
You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world.
But his teaching. Oh, it grabbed me. It filled my head and brought tears to my eyes so I could hardly breathe and I'd have to look away. Weigh the money pouch in my hands. Think of a woman. Take a drink. Anything to stop the tears. Unbearable. His truth. When he spoke, I heard. It sounds mad, but I heard beauty.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.
Drowning in his voice, like standing in a waterfall, stunned, held fast by the power and the weight and the life of it. And then silence. Golden, honey heavy, transfixed. For whole minutes, no one moved, like we were paralyzed, sucker punched.
Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.
I should have known then. Right there at the start. Run, run, and don't look back. Save yourself. Don't let this man. I should have known then. He was too other for me. Too other. But I stayed. Fool. I stayed to become the most hated man in all history.